Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele, taking care of everything behind the scenes here. We'll have Steve Geller join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. Want to tell everybody it is game day for the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Pelicans kick off their regular season tonight against the Chicago Bulls in the Smoothie King Center, and you can catch the Pels versus the Bulls right here on the Big 870 WWL. Pregame starts at 6:30, tip off at 7 p.m. tonight, and a little after 4:20, we'll have on with us Jin Hale from Fox Sports. So talk a little bit about the Pelicans, certainly the NFL, and the Saints. Good news for the Saints from an injury standpoint. Chris Olave, Pete Werner, Cesar Ruiz, Colin Saunders, Taysom Hill, and Lucas Patrick had returned last week, but he's back also. The only two not at practice today, Derek Carr, was not spotted at the practice session today. So Carr wasn't there, along with Nick Saldaveri, who's, I think he's nursing a shoulder injury. But, man, Nick's had one injury after the other over the past 2 years since they basically traded up in the draft to get him. Certainly the big news last night that the Saints came up with a two-year extension to Alvin Kamara, $24.5 million, 22 guaranteed. And Saints don't have a lot of playmakers. He's one of them. And I'm sure there were people that called about Alvin Kamara. I got a lot of texts about it last night. I'm sure people did inquire what it would cost. But if you heard, and we'll have sound of Alvin Kamara, he didn't want to go anywhere. He wanted to stay here and finish his career here. He didn't want to. He knew that that contract next year, which would have paid him, I think, around $24 million, that wasn't going to happen. So they had to rework the contract. And but he wanted to stay here. I've been around long enough. They've had guys, things maybe a little bit not what you want it to be. They want out, and they let you know, or they play like they want to go out. Kamara, he's one of the few playmakers this football team has, and they're talking about trade. What do you get in return for him? You're not going to get full value. I don't know that for a fact, but most teams this type of year, you know, they're trying to make a deal for a veteran, and they want to get it at a bargain basement price. They don't want to pay anything for it. So Alvin Kamara back with the Saints with a contract for 2025 and 2026. And, again, he's one of the few playmakers this football team has, and we saw it early in the season what type of impact guy he is. And finally, he's starting to get a little healthy. Out west and with the Chargers, see what happens on that part. Also today in a big trade in the NFL, DeAndre Hopkins got traded from the Tennessee Titans to the Kansas City Chiefs. Basically, for a fifth-round pick, it can go up to, say, the fourth round if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl and DeAndre Hopkins plays 60% of the offensive plays. I would think he might hit that particular part. DeAndre Hopkins, he was never what you want to call a speedster to begin with when he came out of Clemson, but he's still a really good route runner, 32 years old, and he's a crafty dude. He knows how to set you up and get separation downfield, tight window throws. Mahomes can do that. He hasn't really played with some of the top-notch quarterbacks, especially since he's been with the Titans. But he did play for a while with Kyler Murray, who can sling it. But Patrick Mahomes can sling it at a different level. I think it's a really good trade for the Chiefs to pick up a veteran who can work that short, intermediate areas of the field so well. And this year, they've struggled in that part. They got a big play guy, Xavier Worthy. He can run. He can hit you over the top. What you needed was a dependable guy that could move the chains for you, and it's not going to take him long to be on the same page as Mahomes. Smart players pick things up really quickly in life, so I think that's a really good deal for the Chiefs to get DeAndre Hopkins, and I think they'll end up probably giving up a fourth-round pick for DeAndre, and also the Titans traded away today. Ernest Jones IV, who they had just picked up weeks ago from the L.A. Rams. They traded him to the Seattle Seahawks in exchange for young guy Jerome Baker, at linebacker and a fourth-round pick. So Titans on a stockpiling draft choices. And, man, they got holes all over the board for the Titans trying to rebuild that football team. Also, was made official today, Kevin Stefanski came out and said that Jameis Winston will start Sunday. Who he goes up against? Baltimore Ravens. That's a toughie right off the bat.
That is a rough one to start.
That's a rough one. And also, good news for former LSU linebacker Devin White, who had been cut last week. He got some phone calls about where he could potentially end up. He signed today with the Houston Texans. And D'Amico Ryans, who's a former linebacker, linebacker's coach, defensive coordinator. The one thing with Devin, he is an athlete at the highest level. Always a freelance guy. He was at LSU. He was early on with the Bucks. But he got to the point where Todd Bowles said, enough's enough. I'm not taking this freelance any longer. He benched him, and then he went on to the Eagles. Vic Fangio is always about being in the right position, right time, right assignment. It didn't work with Devin. Cut him loose. And let's see if D'Amico Ryans can kind of shape things out with Devin White, who I think he's 26 years old. And he's still got some football gas left in the tank. But you can't always freelancing pull yourself out of position not to make a play. Can D'Amico Ryans and the Texans sort of work on that and bring him back to what we had saw in the early years with the Tampa Bay Bucks? Man, it just seems like just yesterday, 2019 draft, he was the fifth overall pick. And to basically have two teams say, hey, sorry, it's not working out. Can it work out in Houston with D'Amico Ryans and also his newest linebacker, Devin White? We'll have on Jen Hale in just a few minutes. And when we come back after Jen, we'll talk a little bit about gentleman, man, I watched him play, Fernando Valenzuela, passed away yesterday, 63 years old, liver cancer. Oh, man, that 1981 season and the few years after that, man, Fernando mania. And you covered sports differently back then. There weren't all these channels that you could watch all the games. And so you saw highlights. And I'll never forget the major networks. I'm talking about national news, CBS, NBC, ABC, doing features on Fernando Valenzuela, 20 years old, on the mound for the Dodgers. And how you knew you made it back then, and he was always a Dodgers fan, Frank Sinatra come watch you pitch. Man, when old Blue Eyes come out there to watch you pitch, man, you've made it pretty good in life. We come back here on Sports Talk. We'll have on with us Fox Sports' own Jen Hale right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettillo along with Cullen Steele behind the scenes here. Want to remind everybody that the Pelicans kick off their regular season tonight against the Chicago Bulls in the Smoothie King Center. Pre-game right here on the Big 870 starts at 6:30, tip-off at 7 p.m. on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Fox Sports, also part of the new Gulf Coast Sports Entertainment Network, Jen Hale. Jen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Mike, you know, always for you.
I appreciate it, Jen. Jen, we'll talk a little Pels early. I'm intrigued about the acquisition of Giante Murray and how that's going to make everybody else better, because he's a facilitator. I think that's his role here, and everybody's got, you know, certain jobs to do, but you always have somebody that's got to be the director. Okay, I'm the boss. I'm going to tell you what to do and calm everybody down when things get a little bit upsetting. I think from start to finish, how this is going to work out with Murray, to me, is the biggest intrigue, other than can Zion stay healthy for, you know, most of the season.
Those are my two biggest storylines, followed by where does Brandon Ingram fit into this new rotation. I love starting with Murray. Yes, indeed, a huge pickup for the Pelican squad this offseason. He definitely makes the Pelicans better on both sides of the ball. We're going to talk mostly about his offensive prowess, but Mike, he's a great perimeter defender. He's going to help the Pelicans defense as well. As far as the offense, though, so many times last year, You saw the Pelicans freeze in those clutch moments. Game on the line, last 2 minutes, 1 minute. You got to make a decision. You got to go. You can't hesitate. And they hesitated. They weren't sure where to go with the ball. They weren't the best in executing ATO after timeouts. DeJounte Murray's really going to step that up for the Pelican squad this season. He's the unquestioned leader in that sense, the decision maker. Not only did he have all those years, of course, in Atlanta, the Hawks, alongside Trey, but he also had time with the Spurs and San Antonio under Pop. I think he's going to be a clutch decision maker for the Pelicans this season, and they desperately needed it. Now the question is, since he's filling that role, where do some of these other veterans like CJ and B.I. fit? How do they fit the best?
Well, with CJ, I would think his best have him coming off the bench, be the sixth guy. That would seem to be a role I think he could embrace and be very good at.
If anybody would, it would be CJ, Mike. I'm curious. I'm so excited about this Pelican squad. As I said, I think they definitely got better this offseason. I hate the way the preseason played out, that Brandon and Zion never got to play together, because, boy, that's just a repeat from last year, right?
Yep.
So little time on task on the court together. I think one of Willie Green's biggest challenges is going to be figuring out what is his starting lineup. And do you stick with one and just say, hey, this is what we do. We do it to an elite level, and we're just going to beat you at it? Or do you change your starting lineup and adjust to your opponents and try to create mismatches? And I think that philosophy, that decision, is a big one for the coaching staff going forward in these next couple of games.
I think it's the latter. I think you adjust game to game on who you play, how you match up. Because I do think it doesn't matter in what sport, if it's basketball or football, it's how you sort of match up. You got to see it up close and personal with Zion at the end of last year until he got hurt. He was a tilt-the-court guy. I mean, and you said, wow, that's what he could really be if he could stay healthy for any length of time. We've seen him in the offseason. He looks like he's in great shape, ready to roll. And listen, if you're sick, you're sick. I mean, that's just part of the gig. But, Jen, I think...
It is what it is, right?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
It's not an injury, Mike. It's not an injury. That's the good news.
Yeah, and so, hey, you know... Okay, we all deal with either kids or grandkids. If they sick, they sick. Okay, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have to deal with it. And I look at it with Zion, that if he's healthy and he's in shape, he's one of these guys that if he plays, let's say, 80% of the games, he's a huge impact in 20 of those 80s games. Because of what he can do taking over. I think he can take over a game like very few people can at the NBA level. The big question mark is he available?
Mike, zero doubt about all that. He is an absolute game changer because of how diversified his skill set is. He can be a ball handler. He can play perhaps that center position as well, because that's a big looming question mark for the Pelicans to answer this season. If you do go small, you're probably going to have Herb on their best offensive player. Can Z hold his own defensively? All in all, it's the C word for Z, consistency. Can he be in there on a regular basis, night in, night out, so the team gets into a rhythm, that they're confident in how to play together and what to expect out of each other, instead of this herky-jerky, oh my gosh, another new starting lineup tonight. Let me feel each other out. You know, we've had one practice all together in a month. I'm not sure what my teammate's going to do. I'm not sure how I should react. You want this to be a well-oiled machine, especially with your starters. You need your starters to be available. The best ability is availability. Z knows that, and he knows he has to be there in the big moments, Mike. He is not happy about not having a postseason appearance and about missing the All-Star festivities so much. It's great, and it's wonderful, and it's exciting for us to talk about, wow, we saw flashes last year of him, and he likes it too. But he knows it doesn't really count when it comes to legacy and his goals of where he wants his career to mean until you do it in prime time in the postseason on a regular basis.
Jen, we'll talk Saints after this question, but I told you this even before the season started, and you got to cover him a couple times, Jaden Daniels. I said he's the most humble superstar I've ever been around. I've been doing this almost 40 years. I mean, he acts like somebody who's like 35 years old. I've been playing 10 or 12 years. his work ethic, his focus on what he has to do, and it looks so easy for him. And you know it's not, but it's the way he handles himself on the field, off the field. And, okay, I'm just a regular guy. I'm trying to help my team win. I'm going to do whatever I can. You got to see it early with Jaden and just his poise and his calmness in the vortex of the tornado.
Zero doubt, Mike. He certainly is proving to me that he should have been the number one pick. I think he's a shoe-in favorite as long as he can get healthy, stay healthy, for Rookie of the Year. His poise is so incredible and his work ethic. When you talk to him, when you watch him, when you absorb his routine on a daily basis, you feel like you're talking to a Drew Brees type, a wily veteran who's been battle-tested and knows the ins and outs. He's at that facility at 4 a.m. He's already done his workout, finished by 6 a.m. He's in there meetings with his offensive coordinator and his quarterback's coach starting at 6:30. He lives, eats, sleeps, breathes football. And a story I love, because I have gotten to cover him now. I've had three of his games already this season, which has been a lot of fun. It's something he started back at LSU, and he really credits helping his Heisman campaign. He trains with a virtual reality headset, and this isn't just a normal VR headset. It's this technology out of Germany, state-of-the-art, and they put in all of the commander's play calls, the exact verbiage. They customize the session with the opponent for that week, right down to the colors of the stadium, the outline of the field. And Jaden trains on this an extra 2 or 3 hours a night at home once he's done with practice, done at the facility. And I think that just shows what type of commitment he has to finding alternative ways to augment what he's already doing on the field, especially in a way that doesn't tax his body any more than he already has to.
With the Saints yesterday, came up with a extension for Alvin Kamara. In my opinion, you had to do it. Jen, okay, I understand 29-year-old running backs. I get that. But this team doesn't have many playmakers right now on the offensive side of football. And we saw early on, and he said today, I've been playing with a broken hand. That happened against the Chiefs. And he's got broken ribs. All this stuff about they ain't as tough as they used to. I'm not real sure about all that for some guys. That maybe is the case in some cases, but you got to look at it individually. What he brings to this football team, okay, you could have done like what the Titans did with Hopkins. You got a middle-round pick in exchange for him. That's what you were going to probably get. That's probably what was offered because they want to make a bargain basement deal with you. They don't want to give up nothing in exchange for a guy who is certainly in the fall years of his playing career as a running back, but he's still got some football juice in him. You could tell when he was healthy early in the season and when he had an offensive line that was blocking, he was really good, and I mean really, really good.
He's got a lot of football juice left, Mike. I understand the adage, the rule about running backs, but there are those who defy the expectations, defy the odds, and I think Alvin is certainly going to be one of them. He's been the most trusted, most reliable weapon the Saints have offensively, and he'll fight through those injuries. You got to have that locker room guy who sets the tone, who does the stuff that other guys won't do so that they follow you. I absolutely think it was the right decision, unequivocally, no doubt about it. And look, this offense desperately needs him. They need an anchor piece like that. Losing five in a row, not good. They're finally getting some pieces back starting this week and hopefully more next week. Can some of the other teams in the NFC South experience some drop-off, and can the Saints recapture that magic from weeks one and two? I don't think you can if you don't have Kamara, and I think it was an excellent decision by the Saints front office.
You look at the Bucs today in maybe a 72-hour period, because I picked the Bucs to win the South. I think that I really thought that they had a team set up to win it again. Okay, bang, you lose Chris Godwin, who is such a huge piece of the puzzle there. And now Mike Evans is going to miss 4 weeks. Okay, I hear all this. Oh, well, the next guy, next man up. Okay, that's great for the locker room. And that's coaches talk. That ain't reality. There's no Chris Godwin unless you trade for one. There's no Mike Evans unless you go out and get one. There's nobody on the bench that's even close to those two guys. Those injuries, along with maybe you getting healthy a little bit, but you got to stop the run. I think that's been the surprising thing. The Saints haven't had a ton of injuries on the defensive side, the football. Jen, they've been gashed the last couple weeks running the football. And that's bad football when you can't stop the run. Because I know one thing. I do know one thing about Harbaugh. He's watched that film like we all have. Man, he's going to hit you with a tablespoon of the running game and two tablespoons if he can to run the football. And this team with the Chargers, they haven't scored a touchdown in their last 16 possessions offensively. And they are 7.5-point favorite over the Saints.
Perfect time for an upset, number one. Number two, do you know how demoralizing it is when you can't stop the run? It brings your whole squad crashing down your confidence level. That's something the defense, DA, he's got to get in there and figure out how to fix some of that stuff. And with the weapons they have, they've got to make some tweaks. And getting healthier will certainly help. But you got to man up and handle business, because you can't, especially when you're down Derek Carr, you can't just let the opposing offense score at will. And the Chargers might not be great, but unfortunately, I think as we saw Thursday night, it doesn't take a great squad right now to take advantage of the Saints by any stretch. And the Chargers coming off that loss to the Arizona Cardinals, walk-off field goal, they're going to be hungry. They're going to be looking for some redemption. And Harbaugh's just crazy enough to be able to use that to motivate that squad to come out swinging.
Yeah, I expect that first number at least will be 3 on the running attempts. It'll be 30-something. And it could actually be a 4 before it's over with if you can't stop it. Jen, you have the Dolphins-Cardinals this weekend. Kind of give us a little bit of an update on what's happening with Tua. That team has totally unraveled since he went down to the head injury, and we were kind of texting one another last night about it. I worry about his long-term health because I've seen players that had numerous concussions and what it can cause later on in life. That's the storyline in Miami right now. Now, they got if he's back in the lineup and you can protect him, they are explosive with Jalen Waddle, with Tyreek Hill. I don't know about Achan if he's going to be back or not, but I know how fast he can run if he gets a little bit of a hole. That is a huge storyline, not only because of Tua's talent, but what has happened to that team since the head injury.
Mike, to me, the phrase that you just said, if you can protect him, and I'll take it a step further, if he can protect himself. Three documented concussions in the last 2 years, that's seriously significant. You know, there's a lot of research out there that suggests he should hang it up now. He should, you know, think of himself for the long term, the long run. But he was back out of practice today. I just got off some Zooms with the Dolphins just a few minutes ago. He looked good in practice. He was limited. He's not going to wear the Guardian cap helmet, but he is wearing the safest, most protective helmet that's not the soft shell that a quarterback can wear. To me, he has got to play smart, not just brave. And you got to know when to slide. You got to know how to protect yourself when those defenders are coming at you. And yeah, it does scare me for him. But this Dolphins squad needs him. He wants to be out there for him. Question mark to some extent. Still, they haven't declared he'll play Sunday. Certainly, today was a huge step in that direction. And Tyreek Hill, you know, he isn't one to mince words or to be demure, shall we say. And he was doing a press availability after practice today, and he was telling fantasy owners to effing start him. He's ready to go. He had some really nice production the first 2 weeks with Tua. He hasn't scored a touchdown since Tua went out. So you know his teammates are pushing Tua as well, that they need him. The Dolphins, they didn't really have a good plan at backup quarterback. They've played 3 different ones since Tua went out, which certainly has contributed to that unraveling you talked about. They didn't have a real solid plan B in place. They've been searching for answers. So if I were a betting girl, I would think Tua's going to be back this Sunday. I'm excited to be on the field for that game, see how he looks, see what he's learned. I remember interviewing RG3 back in the day, and it was kind of a similar story. And several several major concussion injuries in a short amount of time. And it was like, look, what have you learned about when to slide, when not to play the hero, when to remember availability is the best ability, especially if you've already got the first down type of a deal. So, yeah, that's going to be a major storyline for the entire NFL if Tua goes on Sunday.
Yeah, Jen, they didn't have a plan B. They had a plan Z. And it was way down the list.
B1, B2, and B3.
Yeah.
None of them were good.
That wasn't going to work. They were El Lazio. Jen, thanks so much for joining us. But before I let you go, I know it's a little bit away, but you're having your sideline pass Christmas event. And so any kind of details you can give us about that, I know we'll get you on a few more times before then, but tell us a little bit about and where it's going to be held also.
Yes, thank you, Mike. You're always so awesome about supporting this. It's our 10th annual, I can't believe it's been 10 years, 10th annual holiday and gift toy drive. So basically, this is where we collect toy donations for kids living in group foster care homes and shelters, because a lot of times they don't get a Christmas other than this type of event. And every kid should have something to open on Christmas morning, right, no matter the age. So Gail Benson has been an awesome partner with us through the years. And just like she did last year, she's opening up the Saints indoor practice facility to us to host the event, which is going to be really awesome for fans because they're in the process of renovating it. So this is going to be the first public event since the renovation. So you can see everything they've done, the new glass cafeteria that overlooks the practice facility, the observation deck up top. Friday, December 6th, everybody mark their calendars. And it's going to be, because we have so much space, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to have one half of the field for kids, all sorts of games, activities, challenges, crafts. We're going to have Saints and Pelicans alums out there doing skills challenges and clinics. And then the other half of the field, we're going to have more for adults, you know, a VIP area for adults with Christmas cocktails and entertainment. And then for our sponsors, that glass observation deck above the cafeteria, that's going to be available for them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets will be available on the website coming up in the next couple weeks, sidelinepass.org.
Jen, thanks so much for joining us. You always do great work for the community, and I mean that. You don't have to, but you do, and you do a great job. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate you, my friend.
All righty. That's Jen Hale from Fox Sports, also involved now with the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. I think she'll be doing some television for that network, and got her schedule so busy she couldn't do the sidelines anymore for the Pelicans. Andrew Lopez takes over there. And we'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Cullen Steele in studio. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, in the huddle with me, brother. What's going on?
Hey, Mike. And look, I called in yesterday, but I did want to bring up, me and Charlie were talking about it. You know, Southern Miss fired Will Hall, the former Tulane offensive coordinator. It was a failed experiment, and I know you got connections to Coach O. So, hey, man, throw us a bone. Throw the Southern Miss Nation a bone here. Send a text, send something, an email, something. He might not want to come out of retirement, but the Southern Miss fans are bringing his name up a lot. I'm just throwing it out there, buddy. And listen,
let me say this. I will let Coach O make a decision on that. He's living life pretty good out in South Florida right now, and he's visiting his two boys that coach at Miami of Florida, and he's got another son that coaches at Tulane. And so he's back.
And listen, Mike,
he's back and forth.
I've seen him.
Yeah.
I've seen him at Tulane games. I think he shows up there at these Yeoman games, and he just likes to be around the game, you could tell.
Oh, but he still loves the game.
He loves it. He loves it. And look, listen, everybody's excited about Taylor Swift. People are going crazy. But look, it's Pelicans night tonight. The Pelicans opening up. And my question to you is, I know there's some injuries. Jose Alvarado got in a car accident. Zion sick. Already we're kind of starting out with this and that. But that's no big deal. Is Lonzo Ball going to play tonight?
That's what they're saying.
You know,
what is this?
That's
the first time?
Really?
This is the first time he's played since I think January of 2022.
It was like December of 2022 or something like that. It's like 2 years.
Man, that's a long stretch of time that you haven't played.
It's gonna be interesting. You know, I had high hopes for him when he was here, but we got rid of him at the right time. And look, listen, the big question. I told this to Charlie. It's the center position, Mike. You know, I want to get your take on that. What do you see the Pelicans doing with the center position? I mean, there's no more waiting around and guessing. It's liftoff tonight. And the tickets are like $10 right now for the opener tonight. People need to come out, come support the Pelicans. Because guess what? We usually wait till the Saints are over, huh, Mike? And I mean, I'm not saying it is over, but I don't know, man.
There is some distractions on that part, Jimmy.
Exactly. It's time to get all in.
The small lineup will work against some teams, but not everybody. And that's going to be the trick of when you play a team like Denver. How are you going to match up? When you got a big man in the middle, how are you going to match up? I think that's the intrigue of this small lineup. And you can want to run the court and kind of run and gun it. But eventually, how you match up against those really talented big men, I think that's the big question mark. Charlie and I have talked about it on and off the air about it. Cullen and I have talked about it. Steve and I, Bobby and I got to see it first because I think there is a lot of question marks because for some teams, you might be able to get away with it, and it's not a hindrance. For others, it's a negative and a big one. How are you going to match up against some of the better big men in this league? I mean, because you sort of got journeyman or a young man who's talented, but he's not ready for prime time now. How all that works out, I'm anxious to see. Really am. And Jen and I talked about it, the addition of Jontae Murray, how that's going to figure in. Certainly the health of Zion and how many games he can play. My bigger thing is, how is this going to work with Brandon Ingram? All offseason has been that trade talk and you know, how things are going to work out and can they come up with an extension or a trade. And none of that's worked out. His sort of focus to detail when he's out on the court, all that I think we're fixing to find out pretty quick. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. We'll be back to finish it up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I want to thank Jen Hale for joining us to talk Pelicans, NBA, NFL, Saints. Appreciate Jen. And she's out in Miami covering the Dolphins-Cardinals game this coming Sunday. At 5:20, we'll have on with us from Odyssey Sports and BetMGM, Brad Evans will give us his take on this weekend's games. And don't forget, the Pelicans crank it up tonight against the Chicago Bulls at the Smoothie King. 6:30 tip-off, 7 o'clock p.m. right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettiglia along with Cullen Steele in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. At a little after 5:20, we'll have on with us from BetMGM and Odyssey Betting Insider Brad Evans on his take on the games this coming weekend. Good news from the Saints front. Chris Olave, Pete Werner, Cesar Ruiz, Colin Saunders, Taysom Hill, Lucas Patrick, all at practice today.
At practice. Not at practice. At practice. Practice.
How about that?
At
practice. So not out. At. And that's the key word. And again, who missed? Derek Carr with the oblique injury. And also Nick Saldivari with a shoulder injury. No shocker there. I mean, Nick, he can't stay healthy. For nothing, basically. I mean, it's been an injury-plagued career since he left college. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Bart and Gentile. Bart, you're in the huddle with Mike and Cullen. Almost called you Burt Jones. I'll tell you why. Somebody interviewed me this morning about Burt, and it stuck in my mind. So when I saw it, I had to correct myself a little bit. But, Bart, you got the stage, brother.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So is there any truth to Bryce Underwood being offered $4 million to stay, because he's from Michigan, to go to University of Michigan, Wolverines? Because he's already committed to LSU. He's the number one quarterback in the country.
Yeah. I don't know about the $4 million, but I have watched Michigan play this year. They terrible at quarterback. So whatever offer they made before he committed to LSU, you better up it up. Listen, I think that is going to be till the bitter. I know he has said, I'm committed to LSU. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm going to LSU. But, man, with out-of-state guys, that's sometimes a little iffy. And he's the number one rated player in the country. And he plays the premium position. I would think Michigan is not going to just let him walk without a real strong offer his way. So to answer your question, I don't know about the $4 million. I don't know how anybody would know that particular part from a financial standpoint. But I do suspect whatever they offered him when he committed to LSU, Michigan, they've upped that offer because I have seen what they play in that quarterback. It's not good. And, man, you would hate to lose the top player your state at the premium position and the biggest need you have to come to LSU. But I understand Bryce's part. Man, I have watched Joe Burrow at LSU. I did watch Jaden Daniels at LSU. I'm watching Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. There's some recruiting develop there. So I would think Michigan is going to battle this with LSU to the bitter end. And, you know, and LSU understands when you in with a guy like that, that you better get dead presidents on paper straight, too.
Yeah. What is that, Boosters, Mr. Tertilia, that does that?
Say again?
Boosters.
Yeah, come on, guys. They got people that want to help the school, and it was illegal. They still did it years ago. They still did it. But, it's now legal, It's now legal to, with the NIL situation. And when you look at what Arch Manning got, when he went to Texas and his deal, and that's just going to be more and more, Bart, we're going to hear about it. It is.
Yes,
it's not longer our daddy and grandpa's world. It's a different world.
Yes, sir.
And so,
if
I was Auburn, I'd maybe go that $4 million route because, good gracious, do they need a quarterback in the worst way? But so does Michigan. So I think that story will play out until signing day in Michigan in December. I think it'll play out.
Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you so much, Bart. Really do appreciate it. We'll go to break, and we come back, we'll have on with us Brad Evans from Odyssey Sports, also BetMGM, right after this break here on the Big 870. WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettillo along with Cullen Steele in studio. Before we go to Brad Evans, Christian Clark has broke some news, Cullen, about Zion tonight.
Yes, sadly, Christian Clark over for NewOrleans.com said that Zion Williamson and Willie Green just spoke a couple minutes ago to the press. Zion Williamson is out tonight. DeJounte Murray and Jose Alvarado are on track to play. They were previously game-time decisions. It looks like they're going to play. That is good news. Sucks that Zion's out. He's dealing with an illness. We don't know what. Could just be, sniffles. Who knows? But he will not play tonight.
All right. Thanks for finding that pretty quick. I appreciate that. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And on the line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL insider Brad Evans. BetQL insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast. For more analysis, just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon, brother. How you been?
Hola, amigos. I am splendid. I am spectacular, and I'm ready to rock. Hope you guys are well.
We're doing well, Brad. Got any thoughts about tonight's game, Pelicans and Bulls?
Yeah, well, the Bulls, we'll see what version that we get out of the gate here to start the season. A team that really sloughed down the home stretch, to say the least. Oh, man, massively. There's some, I think, continuity and cohesive issues there. And we don't know if this team is going to be even decent defensively. Obviously, with Zach LaVine, Ayo Dosunmu now running the point. I mean, they have a pretty good backcourt. They have some stout defenders when they want to play an A-level of defense. I know New Orleans has some of the issues. Getting that Zion news right before tip is shaved off a point and a half from the spread. It wasn't 6 earlier today with the Pels, now down to 4.5. I just don't trust the Bulls. I live 2 hours south of Chicago. I'm very familiar with the team. I'm not necessarily a fan, but I think Chicago will come stumbling out of the gate yet again. Give me New Orleans, I'll lay the chalk.
We'll start with Saturday's game, LSU Texas A&M. This is sort of, Brad, like a playoff game already.
Yeah.
In the season, because of the way both started with losses, and then they've kind of hit their stride a little bit. Now, College Station, you play in the Aggies. Your thoughts, Texas A&M, LSU.
Yeah, I was going to be nip and tuck. This game feels like it's going to come down to final possession, quite frankly. I know the hook is in play here with TAMU, favored by 3.5. And I think Captain Hook, shiver me timbers, may come into play here. I like the Tigers plus the points. Looking at some of the advanced data that is out there, again, LSU number 70 EPA offense, number 29 EPA defense. Texas A&M, a balanced team in their own right, but number 22 in offense and 19 nationally in defense. My friends at College Football Insiders have this projected with the Tigers winning 26.11 to 25.39. So if you're a numbers nerd like I am and you're really leaning into some of the advanced data, matchup with the eye test, I think LSU is going to keep this one nip. And, you know, tight and snug from start to finish. They may ultimately sneak one out here. I think it's going to be really close. That's why I like them on the plus 3.5, though I will stay away because I'm a bit too scared on LSU on the money line.
I got you. Notre Dame Navy. Cullen and I were talking about this off the air. I think it opened at 13, is 12.5, something in that range. And I've talked to different college coaches about when you play Navy. Okay, there's only one other team like them, and that's Army. And you got a couple days to kind of get your team ready for what they want to do. Now, I do know one thing with Navy. They throw the football more than Army does. But you know what you're going to get out of them. Notre Dame got caught a napping early in the season. I don't think you catch them napping against Navy. But your thoughts on this being – a game that I thought it would be more like 9.5, 10. Now it's 12.5 with the Irish favorite.
Yeah, look, I think it's too many points, quite frankly. Navy always a unique team to try to prepare for, given the run-heavy style. But this is a different iteration of the midshipmen. They're one that does actually have some balance as a military academy. I mean, usually Air Force has really dominated the narrative among the military academies the last few years, but they're rubbish this season. Army's actually ranked, they're more run-centric than Navy is, a team that can throw the ball. Blake Horvath, a guy that's completed 63.9% of his attempts for over 880 yards on the year. So they do have a tendency to pass, and when they do have a ton of success in that, right, what version of Notre Dame are you going to get? Are you going to get the Northern Illinois version was stunned and had them in a state of dismay, or one that's going to be highly competitive and indicative of their national ranking? I think 12.5 points is way too high. In my estimation, I know Notre Dame is number 3 in EPA defense. Navy, though, top 15 in the country in EPA offense. They will keep this one nip and tuck. I think they lose by around 7 to 10 points. I will take them plus a 12.5.
All right. Tulane, North Texas. The one thing I do know about North Texas, they can score points, but they terrible on defense. Tulane had almost a snore game for three quarters against Rice and then sort of woke up in the fourth quarter. Your thoughts on this? Because it's over a touchdown favorite for the Green Wave.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me that the spread is that high. I think North Texas is going to keep this one a lot tighter than at least the odds makers are suspecting. Again, look at some of the EPA data that is out there. Tulane, one of the most balanced teams in the country, not getting a whole lot of pub. They're top 40 in offense and top 40 in EPA defense. The area where North Texas is not so mean, the green on defense, they're number 119 in the country in EPA per play defense, but a very good offensive team in terms of the advanced metrics. So it's going to come down to, is this going to be a high scoring affair? Yes, it will be. I'd probably lean to the over in this game more than anything else. But if you want to play the standard side, I do like North Texas to get like a garbage time touchdown and secure the cover. I mean, the over-under in this game in the mid-60s, yeah. it might finish in like the mid-70s, to be honest with you. Could be like first to 45 wins.
Brad, it won't be 17-14 when it's over with. I can guarantee you that. Cullen, go ahead. You got one for
him. We're switching up to the NFL here, Brad. Mike told me this earlier before we got the show started. I was kind of surprised to see it. I mentioned that there's not really a lot of good games. We're not getting, you know, Titans. We're not getting Texans-Packers and Lions-Vikings that we had last weekend. We're getting three games where the spread is at or above 10 with a fourth teetering on that. Do you think there is any validity in those? Do you think all of them are going to be blowout? I'm going to give you them real quick. Chiefs at Raiders. Chiefs are favored by 10. Panthers in Denver against the Broncos. Broncos are favored by 10. You've then got the Titans traveling to the Lions, who look incredible right now. Lions are favored by 11.5. And then the Ravens traveling to Cleveland, 9-point favorite against the Browns.
Brad, you don't see that every week. Brother, you might see that in college. You don't see that in the NFL.
No, you don't. You see a lot of single-digit spreads, very rare that you get a whole host of double-digit and strong favorites. But as we've seen over the course of the year, those double-digit favorites have failed and failed miserably to cover the spread, or they have outright lost at just an astronomical rate. Now, looking at these matchups, I don't see how any of the heavy underdogs spring the upset. I mean, Cleveland's just woeful right now. Maybe the quarterback change going from Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston will spark that offense. That might be one I could see the Browns hanging in at, so I might lean on them covering the spread, especially the Rub-A-Dub-Dub and the Chubb Club back open for business against the Baltimore Ravens, a team that has really struggled on the defensive back end. Detroit should run roughshod over the Titans, sounding like Mason Rudolph. It's going to be at the controls over Will Levis. Vegas got no shot against Kansas City, and it sounds like as well that the newly acquired wide receiver from Tennessee, DeAndre Hopkins, is going to be on the field, a true X wideout and a major upgrade. I think this arsenal for a struggling quarterback, can't believe I'm saying that with Patrick Mahomes, as his overall statistical output way down compared to career previous marks. And then Denver, they've been a really kind of a sleeping giant away. I mean, you guys saw it last week. They throttled this thing from beginning to end. I know it was kind of a mishmash unit out there for New Orleans, but they get Carolina, the Hello Kitties from Charlotte. They're not defending worth the damn right now. Bo Nix and Javonte Williams, that combo of quarterback and running back, should have a monster game. So I guess the only team I give a puncher's chance of springing the upset, dare I say, the Cleveland Browns?
I don't. You can bet your money on that.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be mine.
I'm not going to join you on that one after Monday. No.
No, it wouldn't be. Saints Chargers, and a lot of people were, Monday night we were doing a show, and a lot of people thought the under might be the play here, but that's went up now. I think it was like 39.5. Now it's up to 40.5. The Chargers, 7.5-point favorite over the Saints, and they're finally getting some good news from an injury standpoint of people getting back to the lineup. So your thoughts, and the Chargers, 16 straight offensive possessions, no touchdowns.
Yeah, you know what that means? Better the kicker market when you're looking at the LAC team. Dicker the Kicker is a guy that's just been a money-making machine if you've been betting the over 1.5 field goals made, which is a standard prop for place kickers in the NFL. I like the under here, guys, at 40.5. I think points are not going to be plentiful. I think it's going to be a bit of an uphill battle for both these teams to really score and score early and often. Now, you might say because of the leakiness of the New Orleans Saints defensively, maybe Justin Herbert's going to have a lot of success vertically. Maybe get Quentin Johnson on the field, Ladd McConkey, a guy could do some dirty work underneath. You ride J.K. Dobbins, and maybe they hang like 24 in this game. Okay, that's great. Well, how many points is New Orleans really going to score with Spencer Rattler back under center? And again, this mishmash unit, they are trotting out there. Abba Kamara's not even healthy. He's been playing with a broken hand, for crying out loud. And LAC, number one in EPA per play defense in the National Football League. They are very tight in the trenches. They're excellent on the back end as well in terms of their coverage. I think they're going to be like white on rice in this game. I think New Orleans is going to be lucky to score even like 7 to 10 points. So ultimately, the best bet on the board, in my opinion, not so much the 7.5. I'm afraid of Captain Hook on the standard spread, but I do like the under on the 40.5. It could be another field goal kicking contest with Kicker the Dicker.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. Falcons, Buccaneers, the Bucs are not the same team. Without Godwin, without Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan and Shepard, and, come on. Going up against the Falcons, man, they got blown out last weekend. That was an ugly loss to Seattle. Your thoughts, Atlanta, Tampa Bay?
Man, it was a shootout last time we saw this game, right? Yeah. Kind of insane in the membrane. They're the ATL from beginning to end. Of course, Kirk Cousins throwing a frozen rope in overtime to get the victory. It's going to be more of the same. What really impressed me with Tampa in that game, even though they got slaughtered, was the running back play. They're gone to a full-blown RBVC. Everybody looked good. Rashad White, they plays as a runner and definitely as a receiver, pair of touchdowns in that game. I know a lot came in garbage time, but still impressive when the game was competitive. Sean Tucker had some violent runs. Bucky Irving, a guy, get appreciable yak as well. And that could be the calling card for the Buccaneers in this game. They're going to have to lean on that triumvirate at running back, and all those guys can be scoring duelists. They can do it with the legs. They can do it with the hands as well. And with Chris Godwin out, Mike Evans out, Jalen McMillan, it looked like to be your number one guy. Kate Otten can inflict some damage. Don't underestimate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though they are walking wounded. I think there's still enough weapons on this team to be competitive. The only question you got to worry about defensively, great is Vita Vea in the trenches, but on the back end, holy mackerel.
I agree with that.
Yeah, you gave up 5 passing touchdowns to Lamar Jackson. That's an area of concern, especially given the fact that Kirk Cousins shredded them in that first game. So I think it's still going to be tighter than most people feel. Tampa will hang tough despite all the losses they have had at wide receiver.
I got a text about Vikings-Rams. He always texts me, I think he's got a few nickels on this game. Minnesota Vikings, Rams, Vikings 3-point favorite. Your thoughts on Thursday night games? And we've seen some weird stuff here on Thursday night on games that short week, how coaches handle it. The Rams have had a ton of injuries all across the board that a lot of talk. And when it comes from national people, Brad, I think the Rams leaked that out about trying to trade Cooper Kupp. That wasn't pulled from the sky. It's too many people that were on that particular maybe deal, and I think they were putting it out there to see if they could get a nibble on Cooper Kupp. But your thoughts, Vikings, Rams, Thursday night.
Yeah, is it a showcase game for Cooper Kupp there in prime time at an island matchup taking on the Minnesota Vikings? I think the LA Rams are open to a deal on Kupp. If somebody comes and backs up the truck and gives a high enough draft pick, they're willing to take on some of the salary there as well. They could be in sell mode. But this is a team that can still, move the football efficiently at times, especially on the ground there with Kyren Williams, who has scored a TD in every stinking game this year. Now, he's got a tough battle here as Minnesota's number one in the NFL in EPA per play defense, at least here over the last 5 weeks they've been in that category. And, of course, you got the almighty Justin Jefferson, as everybody knows, in your neck of the woods, a guy that's just unstoppable. And it's not like anybody on the Rams can hang tough with him. Maybe Kobe Durant can. He is top 25 and pass coverage great according to Pro Football Focus. But Jefferson, all he does is get separation and make big plays down the field. Aaron Jones, I think, will be the difference maker in this game for Minnesota. I would lean the Vikings here, laying the chalk. It seems like a very public play, but the Rams are woeful defensively, number 30 in the NFL and EPA per play defense, and they're especially vulnerable and susceptible on the ground. So Aaron Jones could be the reason why Minnesota cruises to an easy cover in the City of Angels.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love to have you on. Love your energy too, brother. You bring it, and I give you full credit for that.
Oh, muchas gracias, mi amigo. Hey, guess what? I need a cup of coffee. I'm out.
All righty. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. When we come back, Steve Geller will join us for Triple Option right here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Cullen Steele. Steve Geller joins us for our triple option feature. And I've got a couple of people text about, oh, you were going to talk about Fernando. So that's my triple option. And Fernando Valenzuela kind of growing up. We close to the same age. I'm a little bit older than Fernando. But, man, just think about it. In 1981 and just how good he was. And wins his first 8 starts. 5 of them shutouts for the Dodgers. And becomes the only player to win Rookie of the Year and Cy Young. And then the Dodgers win the World Series. Man, he had that screwball. Left-hander threw that screwball. And, man, that thing rolled all over the place. And, man, he had so many people confused with it. Went on to pitch 17 years in the majors. And not only with the Dodgers, but with 5 other teams. But he had some shoulder injuries throughout his career, but just a great guy. Put the spark back in baseball. Covering baseball was different, and watching it was different. You didn't have 5,000 cable channels to watch on. So you were watching this sort of highlight-wise. And, you know, he grew up in Mexico, and to do this in Los Angeles, and he had such a backing. And, Steve, you'd appreciate this. And I told this to Cullen. Man, who used to come watch? Because he was a big Tommy Lasorda. Him and Tommy were partners in life. Frank Sinatra comes out to watch.
Old blue eyes.
Fernando Valenzuela. Well, you should know. You're from Jersey. He's from Hoboken. tragic loss for him. And, well, when you hear, and he had said it a few weeks back that he had liver cancer. Man, that ain't good. And so, God bless him, him and his family, so many friends, and just great memories of you know, younger days for me, younger days certainly when he pitched. But he was really a phenomenon at that time. The only other guy that I could say from a pitching standpoint, and I saw it in the mid-70s, it was Mark Fidrich, the Bird.
Yeah.
And I remember Sports Illustrated had a deal. He was on the cover with Big Bird from Sesame Street. And he was sort of flaky. He did all kind of goofy things on the mound and stuff. But Fidrich had that for a little while, too. But Fernando, 20 years old, cool as a cucumber on the mound. And, man, the whole world's watching, so to speak. I mean, he got it done. So, man, God bless him. Some great, great memories from me watching Fernando. A lot of it was highlights, and you get to see it today, a little bit more of it. But and also from people who knew him, that he was a great guy in life.
Picking back off of what you're saying, Mike, I'm talking about the World Series for this season starting on Friday. Of course, when you've got the New York Yankees and the L.A. Dodgers involved, right now on the secondary market, they're saying the most expensive World Series to date right now. Looking at some of the prices, Game 1 in Dodger Stadium, $1,133, the average ticket price. Game 2, $1,258. Then you get to New York, the prices go up even more. Yankee Stadium, Game 3, $1,547. After that, $1,497, $1,583, and so on.
I hope I'm like Costanza. I'm sitting right next to the dugout, right?
Right, average ticket prices. So you can imagine some of these are probably like standing room only that you're just getting in for a grand right now to see this game. But we knew going into this, we kind of joked, man, the Major League Baseball folks, they are hoping and praying that the New York Yankees end up playing the L.A. Dodgers. Oh. Well, they got their wish. Unfortunately for the fans now, they're the ones that have to pay the price for these tickets.
I told Charlie, who hated this, I mean, because he hated the Dodgers. I told him, I said, Charlie, watch, the Dodgers are finally going to make it. I'm telling you, when you accumulate that much talent,
right,
eventually you're going to get there. And, boy, it rolled for them. And unfortunately for him, the Astros, that was a quick knockout. So, Cullen?
All right, guys, you can tell we're in October when we have 3 things for triple option and none of them are football, because I'm going with the NBA. Did either of you guys watch the Celtics last night?
Domination.
I saw that. That was unreal.
Unreal.
To hit those 3-pointers time after time after time, I'm like, good gracious.
29 out of 61, that ties the NBA record for most 3-pointers made in a game. It doesn't break the record or even come close to breaking the record for attempts. That's with the Rockets in 2019, who had set it with 70. But here's my prediction. That number, that 30, that premier 30, we will see that sometime this year. I think a team will do it. That's the modern NBA. It's 3-point shots. You see that tonight.
Might
with
be
the Pels.
Celtics do it.
You'll see that tonight with the Pelicans. The whole, like, you know, Willie Green wants to hit 40 a game. I mean, last night, Celtics attempted 61, Knicks 30, the Lakers 30, and the Timberwolves 41.
But how about Anthony Davis? I know he ain't the most popular dude in this city, yeah. But boy, did man, at times you say, wow. He took over that game last night. That wasn't in a lot of things, certainly, with LeBron playing with his son, Bronny, and that sort of moment. But really, the story was Anthony Davis.
They said on the broadcast, I was watching them last night, they said on the broadcast that J.J. Redick came out and said that they want the offense to run through Davis. Not LeBron, definitely not Bronny, Davis.
Well, I hope it ain't Bronny they're running it through. But God bless him. He got to play with his dad.
That's a moment you can't take away from anybody.
Yeah, but man, Anthony Davis was on last night. Now, again, he's sort of like Zion. How many games will he play?
Right.
Because he always seems to have a hitch in the giddy-up injury-wise. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Finishing up here at hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Brad Evans from BetMGM for joining us in hour number two. Also, Jen Hale for joining us in hour number one to talk Pelicans and NFL.
Go Pels.
Yeah, and tonight, right here on the new station of the New Orleans Pelicans, starting at 6:30. Pre-game, Pelicans, Chicago Bulls, and then tip-off at 7 p.m. tonight on the Big 870 WWL. Also, too, tomorrow, Steve and I will be at the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenna for our weekend kickoff. Come talk to us there if you get a chance, and also give us a call and ask questions. Come hang out with Steve and I at Treasure Chest in the Game Bar and Grill tomorrow, 4 to 7. Treasure Chest is located on Kenna's lakefront area on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain, right off Williams Boulevard. You can't miss it if you've been to the one that when it was on the water. We right before the water now. We're on the land. So, Steve, an exciting moment because Pels back on WWL, and glad to have him back on.
Definitely, and hopefully they can get the W tonight. Obviously, we know no Zion Williamson, unfortunately, dealing with that illness, but DeJounte Murray is expected to be a go, as well as Jose Alvarado for this team. You don't want to be too shorthanded, obviously, in your opener. A little dismaying to see Zion not taking part, but I mentioned this yesterday, at least he's not dealing with an injury. It's just an illness right now, so get well, Zion, and be back in action, hopefully Friday night in Portland.
Even better news is the Saints.
Ooh-wee.
Steve will get
Hallelujah.
More into that. We talked about it twice from 4 to 6 about getting some of those players back healthy. Gives you a fighting chance on the road against the L.A. Chargers. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Well, welcome on into our Wednesday edition, October 23rd, Sports Talk. A little bit of a shortened edition this evening, getting ready for Pelicans basketball, the season opener in the Smoothie King Center against the Chicago Bulls. Pregame coming up 6:30, tip-off 7 o'clock. No Zion Williams tonight for the Pellies, but all in all, everyone else a good to go for this squad. DeJounte Murray had missed some time dealing with some family emergency. Jose Alvarado is a question mark, too, with the injuries. But looking good going into this game. Hopefully Zion can get healthy enough from his illness to partake in Friday's game. But right now, the Pelicans got to worry about this evening against Chicago in the Smoothie King Center. Definitely keep it locked on here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app for coverage of that. Want to get into Week 8, the New Orleans Saints taking a trip to the L.A. Chargers this Sunday, a 3 o'clock kickoff, so not a noon start this Sunday. Looking at the first practice report of the week, already came out for the team today, and looking a heck of a lot more positive than it has been in the past.
Look at it, too. It's you could argue, sexy.
It definitely brings on a happier feeling much more joy when you're looking at it. Still a lot of names on the list, but there's only two not practicing, and that's Derek Carr, the quarterback, and guard Nick Saldiveri. Meanwhile, everyone else pretty much limited action in a Cesar Ruiz, Lucas Patrick, Pete Werner, Connor McGovern, Chris Olave, Colin Saunders, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, and Cedric Wilson Jr., and Juwan Johnson, all limited today at practice. Meanwhile, a full go, which is huge positive news. Happy to see this for sure. Marshawn Lattimore with that hamstring issue, a full go. And Spencer Rattler, who kind of left the game a little bit early with a hip flexor, he was also a full go at practice today, too. So tons of positive news going around this team heading into Sunday's matchup, other than the five-game losing streak.
Very happy to see that Marshawn and Spencer full goes, especially since we know Spencer will be the guy. He didn't play today. Have we heard anything recently about throwing? I know he did some throwing yesterday.
Oh, Derek Carr?
Did he do any throwing sessions today or anything? I didn't hear anything about that, but I didn't know if you heard.
No, I heard back-to-back sessions Sunday, Monday going into this week for Derek Carr. Not a participant at practice today, so I'm guessing that throwing session didn't go ideally, or he would have at least gotten some work, maybe limited action
at
practice. But yeah, he's still on the shelf, so it'll be Spencer Rattler again. And shout out to Dennis Allen for making that decision right away. I think it gives not really an advantage for your opposition. You know, he could have dragged this out a little longer going. I don't know. It might be Haener. It might be Rattler. But I definitely feel like it gives some confidence to a young quarterback trying to find his way. Obviously, things haven't been great for Spencer Rattler their first two starts. He's going through those growing pains of being a young quarterback in an offense that is missing a lot of people on the offensive line and that wide receiver. So he's been limited in what he's able to do right now, too, and just trying to learn and pick up the pace of an NFL game right now. Definitely a lot more challenging than it would have been with a full roster.
Yeah.
And so glad to see that some of the pieces at least coming back for him. And obviously the big news yesterday was running back Alvin Kamara getting a new contract set through 2026 on this team. A lot of folks, including Alvin, happy about the deal.
Me. You can count me as one of those guys. I do want to say real quick, I'm looking at the Chargers injury report. It's not great for them.
No, they had a lot more guys not practicing for them.
And a lot on offense. They've got, you know, McConkey out, Johnston out. They had six people DNP. They have three wide receivers and two tight ends and a linebacker. That offense is, you got Herbert, Dobbins, and then, huh? Like, shrug? I mean, like, what do you have? So that's got to feel good for the Saints defense.
Yeah, you mentioned it. So the Chargers not practicing today. You had Darius Davis, wide receiver, tight ends, Will Disley and Hayden Hurst, another wide receiver, Ladd McConkey, linebacker, Denzel Perryman, and also wide receiver, Quentin Johnson for the Chargers. Limited was Joey Bosa, DJ Chark, Christian Fulton, Jasir Taylor, and also Khalil Mack. But Khalil Mack was just getting a day of rest for the veteran there, not dealing with an injury. So a lot more to be, you know, found out during the week for this team and the Chargers going forward. Obviously, the final practice report will come out Friday where we find out game statuses for guys. But looking at this one, limited, again, Alvin Kamara, hand and a rib issue. We know he's been dealing with a bunch this season, been banged up, but still was practicing and taking part in games, even without a contract in place. Well, that finally happened for him yesterday. I mentioned, obviously, the team, coaches, fans, all happy about this new deal. And what did Alvin have to say about it yesterday, about getting it?
I said it so many times, like, I want to be here. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. These fans, this organization, my career here, I think it's the icing on the cake to be able to say that, you know, I won't really have to go anywhere, you know, else to play football. Just leave it all here. So thankful for the organization to be able to get this done.
Talking about that new deal, Kamara says he really wasn't thinking about the contract during the season.
I mean it when I say this, like, I'm so focused on just playing, like, and that's been my whole MO, like, when I said it in camp, like, I'm not as much worried about a contract. I'll worry about it after the season, but obviously we got it done. But, I mean, I'm just worried about, you know, now kind of trying to turn things around and trying to get it going in the right direction, because I think we got a lot of talent. I think we got a lot of ability, and we're capable of doing something good here. So it don't feel good losing five in a row. Got to flip it around.
Now, Alvin was set to be a free man after this year if he didn't get a new deal in place. He had a contract with the Saints that had no money guaranteed, you know, so you figured that he wasn't going to be sticking around in New Orleans with that option. But now, you know, the team's 2-5 on the season. They're mired in a 5-game losing skid. Why would Alvin even think about re-upping with this team right now? And here's what he had to say.
I've been here my whole career. I don't feel like there's another place like New Orleans, quite honestly. I think me leaving here and trying to go and find somewhere else, because there's a reality of it. I could have waited to the end of the season and then just said, all right, I'm going to, you know, visit here, find where I'm going. But I don't think it does me any justice. It doesn't serve me any. I don't think to go somewhere and chase. I mean, you could say you're chasing Super Bowls, you're chasing a better organization, better coaches. Like, it doesn't. I don't think that's the answer. I mean, this city's been loyal to me. This organization's been loyal to me. I don't feel like I would get this same feeling that I get putting on a fleur-de-lis anywhere else. So I think it was just important for me, and I keep saying it, and you know, you say it, and then people are like, no, he's lying, and I'm like, like, I'm for real. I wouldn't lie about that. You know, if it was the other way around, then nobody would hear anything, and it would just happen, right? So I think it was really important for me to just you know, stay buckled down here, and you know, figure it out whenever it got figured out. And you know, yesterday was the day. I think it's just special. It's just special here. I think I would lose my flame if I went somewhere else. Honestly, like, and I was talking to my mom about it, and she was like, yeah, just stay. You know, my mom don't really know too much about football. She's just like, yeah, it's easy. She's looking at convenience, but I'm really looking at the bigger picture and just understanding that, you know, for my legacy and for, you know, for me personally, as it, my mind and just body, everything, I just feel like this is the place for me.
Love what Alvin had to say there about, you know, wanting to stay in New Orleans. He feels like he'd lose his flame if he wasn't here.
That's the place for me. That's like, you could put that on. I'll put that on a T-shirt. Are you kidding me? I do want to say, though, that, you know, why do you want to stick with it? Why do you want to believe in this team? Jeff had some good things he mentioned on Twitter earlier about how the Saints' next six opponents have a combined record of 13-27. That is a .325 winning percentage. The only two teams that we face in that stretch that are .500 or better are the Chargers this upcoming week, and then the damn Dirty Birds. But I mean, and Mike said it in, you know, earlier, dude. Chargers, that offense looks terrible, and as we see on the injury report, they don't have a lot of weapons.
No, what's crazy is, too, with this Chargers team, I feel like they have an elite quarterback, obviously in Justin Herbert, but they really haven't done much to surround him with a ton of talent. That's why we talked about this, obviously, during the season. I know Bobby Hebert was big on the Chargers because he loves Harbaugh and figured he could restore them maybe to being a playoff team this year. And I just didn't see it, just because of the rest of the talent around Herbert, you know, wide receivers and running backs. I didn't think they had it.
Who's he going to throw the ball to? He can't throw it to Joe Alt. You know, he can't do that.
He's been solid on the offensive line, that's for sure.
He's been solid, and Harbaugh is solid. I'm not going to, you know, take my faith away from this team, but come on, like, you've got nobody to throw the ball to, and even the guys you do have, five of the six people who didn't play today are tight end, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver.
Yeah, so we're kind of familiar with the woes that the Chargers were going through.
Chargers fans whining about their team being injured.
Been there, done that.
Welcome to the show.
What we're going
to
do, take a break. When we get back, we'll wrap it up with some more Alvin Kamara, what he had to say today, talking about his contract, staying in New Orleans, having that security now with a new deal. We're getting ready for Pelicans basketball. Pre-game coverage coming up 6:30 and tip-off in the Smoothie King Center against those Chicago Bulls, 7 o'clock right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Taking a break. We'll be right back, so stay tuned right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk as we get ready for Pelicans basketball. Coming up 6:30 pregame coverage. Tip-off 7 o'clock against the Chicago Bulls right in the Smoothie King Center. We've been talking about Alvin Kamara. Spoke today about getting that new contract with the Saints. He is locked up in black and gold till 2026. Was asked to... Why get this deal done now? Why are you so believing in this team when everyone else around the nation is ready to write off the Saints at 2-5?
I think we got the right mix here. I think we got the right players in the building. I think we got the right mindset. We just got to get going. We got to get on a good foot. We got to be more detailed. We got to come out and be hungrier. And we got to understand that, you know, we don't have time. There's no time to say, okay, well, we'll get them next week, or every week we have to have a mindset of, you know, we got to win. We have to win. I'm not really into making excuses as to, you know, well, oh, we just didn't get it done, or we'll be better next week. Like, we got to be better this week, because, you know, that's how this league is. It's very competitive. and you don't want to get behind it. You don't want to have a feeling or a cloud over your team of where, like, you know, because I've been the team that where it was like, man, we're going to win, period. And, you know, when you're that team, you go into games and you look at teams and you're like, oh, we're going to beat them. And I feel like, you know, it's been kind of reversed for me these past couple of years. Like, I feel like people are kind of getting that feeling on us, like, oh, we're going to beat them. Like, they're not a very good team, when in actuality, across the board, I mean, minus the injuries, we stack up with anybody. So I think we just got to get back to understanding and really realizing that we can be a great team. I mean, I don't like to go to those first two games because it don't really matter at this point. But, I mean, you see when we're hitting on all cylinders, you know, what it could be. And I think it's up to the leaders, the Mario Cam, Derek, Taysom, guys like that, E. McCoy, Marshawn, like, just to kind of get everybody feeling back right, get everybody's heads back right, player-wise, you know. Make sure the locker room understands that, you know, we got the right pieces here. We don't have to go and try to search for too much anywhere else. We just got to get healthy and get on the right track and just be accountable, because, I mean, that's the name of this game, accountability. If you don't do your job, then it's your fault. And right now, none of us are really doing our jobs because we're not winning. So it's something collectively that we have to get right in the building to be able to, you know, get the results we want. Those are wins.
Alvin Kamara talking about accountability being the biggest thing with this team here. And, yeah, they need to snap a 5-game skid in action Sunday against the Chargers. Coming up next, folks, stay tuned. Pelicans basketball pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip-off. Have a good night.